just here thinking about a way I'm going to get y'all to participate this morning, because this subject I'm going to teach on this morning is, I think it's going to benefit everyone. But first, I'm going to make sure your ears are in tune. No, I'm praying that this would be a good sermon. You know, we have every minister and every pastor, everybody that comes up here want it to be a good sermon. So let me give you a definition of a good sermon. A good sermon, well, it should have a good beginning, it should have a good ending, and they should be as close together as possible. Amen. This morning we're going to... They got it. Now that your ears are in tune to hearing, I'm going to be talking today about a name of God, El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the God that's more than enough. So as I go through this message this morning, see, you're going to see what I'm getting to at the end. But when I point to you, when I just put emphasis on El Shaddai, you all give me the meaning, and I'll make it simple for you. He is more, a God that's more than enough. Okay? I'll remind you later. You're going to forget it. You know, we are going to learn how to connect our physical situation with God's spiritual power. This is the name that God used in the Old Testament 48 times in order to express his ability to be sufficient. I should say all sufficient. We are introduced to the name for the first time in Genesis chapter 17. Again with Abraham, well, actually Abram, and he had to change a name, but right now I'm going to call him Abram. But if I make a mistake, said Abraham, Abram, the same person, all right? Before he has been given another name. So Genesis 17 and verse 1, it says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty.'" God introduces to Abram another name. He introduces it in the context of a covenant. He says also in verse 2, "I will establish my covenant between me and you." Now, everyone here today who has trusted Jesus Christ is part of what the Bible calls the New Testament. Jesus said, when he was around the communion table, he talked about it in 1 Corinthians 11, when he said, "This is the new covenant of my blood." In other words, we have an agreement, we have an arrangement, we have a relationship that is legal. This is a formal agreement. So El Shaddai, the Almighty Sufficient One, is introduced to us in terms of an agreement. And that's going to be very important. God has an agreement with you and me because of our relationship with Him. We are introduced to this agreement almost, now talking about Abram, 25 years earlier in chapter 12 of Genesis. God established the essence of the agreement. So he said in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, he says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you.'" Verse 2, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." He said, "And you shall be a blessing." Verse 3, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Verse 4, "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him." Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So God first talks to him about the agreement when he is 75 years old. So he was 75 years old. God says, "I have got a plan for you." So if you're here and you're getting old and you wonder whether God can still do anything with you, I just want you to know old Abe is 75 when he gets the word, I got a plan. My plan is a blessing. And he told Abram, I'm going to bless you and you are going to be a blessing. Now that's sometimes we talk about and we get sometimes a little mixed up. He says, so don't talk about wanting to be blessed without saying how you want my blessing to be a blessing through me to somebody else. But once we add that second part, you are in better position to receive the first part. He says, I'm going to bless you, and he was 75 years old, and I'm going to make you a great, and from you a people are going to become part of this covenant is going to be so powerful. Now, this covenant that God gave Abram, was so powerful that whoever blesses you will be blessed, and whoever curses you will be cursed. He ends it to this promise. We call it a promise here in chapter 12, but there is a problem. Now, the problem came about in chapter 15 and verse 3. He says, and Abram said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. The question is, how can this promise happen from me if I'm going to become a great people and you haven't blessed me with a child? Now, Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1. Excuse me, I'm going all over Genesis now. But I want you to make a point. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him. How would I put this? He had no children by Sarai. And she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. Now, she got tired, this is Sarai, got tired of waiting on God, just like we do sometimes. God tells us something at 12 o'clock, and 12:25, we don't receive an answer, so we start helping God out. In chapter 17, Abram is 99 years old. In chapter 12, he is 75 years old. So we are closing in on almost 25 years on waiting on God. God has made a promise, but it's not happening. We are childless, so maybe Sarai decides God wants us to help him out. So she came up with this human plan for Abram to sleep with Hagar so that through that human plan method, this man-made assistance, God is moving so slow. It was 25 years, and here you were 75 years when God told you that. Now you're 99 years old. God's just taking too long, and we got to help him out. That maybe God needs some help to get this thing right. He is a little slow, and evidently God is confused because I can't get pregnant. So she came up with a plan for them to have a child, and that child's name is Ishmael. Now, Ishmael is the father of these Arabs, and these two boys have been fighting ever since. So here's our problem. Our problem is that there is a promise that would become a covenant. There is a 25-year gap between the promise that was made and when the fulfillment arrived. They got tired of it somewhere in between because God is taking too long. Now, El Shaddai comes in that context. Abraham is old, he is tired, and he is weary. There is no offspring, so it looks like God had abandoned his promise. Have you ever felt like that? God has promised you something and it took so long and you've gotten so much out of the naturalness that you can help this thing through and you think God had abandoned you? But when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and gives him his name. See, he gave him his name and says, I am the God Almighty. That was in Genesis, but he evidently didn't understand that part. Then he came back when he was 99 years old. He came back and says, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. He says, I'm going to work it out by his name. My name is El Shaddai, that there is one who has the power to be sufficient for a situation, for any situation, or every situation at hand, mainly my promises and my covenant. See, we serve a God that cannot lie. We serve a God that what he said in the beginning, he will hold through until the end. We the ones that messes up. We the ones that hold it up. What did I tell you El Shaddai meant? Say it like you mean it. God. We serve a God named El Shaddai, means God is more than enough. You will know that if you don't know any other name in the Bible. By the time you leave here today, you will know that name. He is more than enough. He says, my name is El Shaddai. That is the one who has the power to be sufficient for the situation at hand, mainly my promises and my covenant. And in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, you don't have to turn there. This is just a little note that I made, but I'll give you the chapter where it's found. He says, he left not knowing, this Abram, left not knowing where he was going. All he knew was that God told him to leave, so he left without any details, without God telling him anything else. He left because God was taking so long. They thought that man, that God needed help. Ishmael is called in the book of Galatians a child of the flesh, because it was a human by human method to help facilitate a divine plan. Their motivation was good, their motivation to fulfill God's covenant, but they went to the secular arena to fulfill it. They went outside of God to help God out. When you and I go outside of God to help God out, not only do we not help God out, because Ishmael was not the one God wanted, but we delay the blessings. See, whenever God tells us something, and we have already, y'all know about inquiring of the Lord, and we don't inquire him, but you know, God is waiting. We're waiting on God. He said he's going to promise me this, and I've been waiting. I've been waiting for 2 days. I've been waiting for 3 days, and this thing hasn't come to pass. We go outside our way using our own intellect and our own plans and our own methods, human methods, to help God out. You're only hindering God from blessing you. See, what we do, we actually get in the way of God's program. We hinder the progress. God comes on the scene after they had interfered with his business and said, I am El Shaddai. But wait, God, we have a problem. That's what he's telling God. The capacity to produce what the promise has declared, we said we do not have. We do not possess. But his name is El Shaddai. El Shaddai is God, a God of more than enough. Let's go back to El, just the first part of his name. We are introduced to El in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, he says, which says that God created out of things which do not appear. In other words, when he made heaven and earth, there were no raw materials to work with. The reason why you need to know about El is because you don't have to see how he is going to do it. A lot of times, God tell us something, we want to see something. We want to see how, but see, El means you don't have to see how he's going to do it. Because you don't have to see how he's going to do it, because God does not need your raw materials. In other words, he doesn't need anything from our natural efforts to help him get the job done. With, as he said, I'm El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. He has the power to work in the invisible without something being seen to bring about visible. He says, Abraham, evidently, you need to know my name. My power is sufficient to supply the need that you can't see where I'm going to come from. He says, I am El Shaddai. I'm strong enough and sensitive enough to care as a mother satisfies the need from her child on her breast. El Shaddai makes himself known in the context of the impossible. See, it's impossible with us, but all things are possible with him. And in chapter 2, chapter 17 and verse 2, he says, I will establish my covenant. God's going to have his way one way or the other. It is his covenant, and everybody here is under the covenant. We are under the new covenant. This is the old covenant that he's talking about, he's making with Israel, with Abram. He makes a new covenant with the church, a new agreement. I can't answer you how he's going to keep specifically his arrangements with you. I don't know that thing. When Abraham hears this, he looks at what he does. He says, Abram fell on his face. And in verse 3, he says, God talked to him. He falls on his face after hearing God's name, because what he is trying to do and what God is trying to do, it wasn't the same thing. That's why it's so important to inquire of the Lord. Because when you're doing inquiry, God told you something, but he has to give you some direction. So I'm always inquiring of the Lord so he can give me direction. God, what do you want me to do now? Where do you want me to walk now? Who do you want me to talk to now? How do you want me to speak? What do you want me to say? We want to be from beginning to end on God's plan, his perfect plan. So you, in other words, he said, you just do your part, Abram. I got mine. So Abram fell on his face. In chapter 17, verse 4, he says, God says, as me, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. Now look at what he does. Verse 5, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. And I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. He not only changes his name, he changes Sarah's name also. Because in verse 15, he says, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Verse 16, I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Now look at what he did. He changed their name to fit his promise. He changed the name to the spiritual reality of his purpose. That is so important, because every time their name was called, they would be reminded. God wanted them to be reminded of what God had said. You are somebody. We are somebody new now that God has placed his covenant on you and me. And since everybody who's a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, is underneath God's covenant, everybody in here has a new name. Everybody here is to be defined by your Christian faith, that is your new name. Question is, how is this name going to become a reality? But he said, don't worry about that, because I am El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. And in verse 8, he says, this is sweet. This is real good. I will bless, I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, the land he is talking about is called Israel. Israel is the promised land. Do you know how long these people have been trying, the people around Israel, these nations around Israel, do you know how long these people have been trying to take hold and run these Israelites out of this small, if you would look on the map, you look at the larger countries and nations around it, Israel is nothing but a pin dot. And all these nations with all these people trying to get rid of this little bit of nation, and this little bit of people, but they cannot do it. They've been trying for years to try to take Israel. The land he's talking about is Israel. He said, now all of those nations around Israel, and Israel is the smallest thing out there. They've been trying to get rid of these people forever, and every time they tried, they lost. The more people, they have more land, that every time they try to defeat them, they lose, because God has a covenant with them. When God says something for you, can no man take it away? Can nobody come in and interfere with it? God made them a promise. And even though they are the smallest, and they're the smallest population, says, I made a promise because I am El Shaddai, and I will keep my promise. That is why people have not been able to get rid of this people, that they are hated. That, you know, Israel is about hated by pretty much quite a few nations around them. And yet they have been unstoppable. Because of their rejection of Jesus Christ, they have not received full blessings yet. But God has still been true to his covenant. He will be true to his covenant because he is El Shaddai. Now, Abraham is now 99 years old. He would be 100 when Isaac is born. He has waited 25 years for God to come through. Yes, he messed up along the way, but God is still faithful. So what is that saying to you? I don't care when God has promised you something. I don't care how much between the promise and the time that thing arrived, the blessing arrived, we fall down, we mess up quite a bit. But God has not given up on you. He give you time to get it right, and he will be back to see that that promise is fulfilled. Some of you have been waiting a long time. You're tired, you're weary, and you have messed up along the way. You have been trying to help God out, things got worse. Don't you know that's something? When God have you to do something and you try to help him out, things get worse. But God came back to him. God is all sufficient at all times. In the Bible, God speaks of his sufficiency. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, he talks about his sufficient grace. He is able to make all grace, all supply available to you. I know it was God because it was beyond my capacity. And he leaves you leftovers. Why? He leaves you more than enough. Now, unto him that is able to do it abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to a power that is working in you, he is more than enough. And this is where I'm really, really want to get you. This is where it's going to help you, of what I have experienced with doing this, what the Lord has told me. He give you leftover strength. Why you need leftover strength? Because I can go out here first thing in the morning and do something and take all my strength away. Something else come up right after that, I have no more strength. He gave you leftover grace, leftover patience, leftover abilities to do whatever needs to be done, leftover peace. He gives you leftover joy. Everything that I need for this day, God has supplied more than enough. In spite of what you can't see, a man went fishing. When he went fishing, he caught this huge, he caught this gigantic fish. And he threw it back in the water. Then he would catch these little fish, and he would keep them. He threw back the big fish, and he kept the little fish. So the guy that was with him said, I don't get it. I don't understand it. You caught all these big fish, and you threw them back. You get these little fish, these tiny fish, and you keep them. He said, why do you do that? He said, because my frying pan is only about 5 inches long. If you are looking at it, if you're looking at the size of what you can see, you're going to throw back stuff that God wants you to have. See, what God wants to do, he's just settling, not just settling for the little you can do yourself. But if you are tired of eating little fish and you want God to do something exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, don't look at the size of your frying pan, because it will always be too small for what God can do. Look at the size of your God. He is El Shaddai, the mighty, sufficient one, the God that's more than enough. Now I'm going to tell you about this God that's more than enough. I think one day, possibly just around 2 weeks ago, I was in prayer that particular morning, and when I thought I had finished, the thing came to me and says, you got to ask for more. You got to make it this day. So I thought it was my expression was, this is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, but I needed more than that. He said to me, don't you know I am a God of more than enough? And then it began to break it down to me. And I said, that is so true. And it's not talking about more than enough. When I said God is more than enough, I'm not talking about God that's more than enough. I'm talking about for tomorrow. I'm talking about a God that's more than enough for today. I don't care whether it be finance, whatever situation you, and circumstance you find yourself in, we serve a God that's more than enough. But I have to ask the Lord, I thank you for when I end my prayer. Every time I pray, and even if I forget to get up and pray, I said before I leave the house, I said, Lord, I'm so glad I serve a God that's more than enough. More than enough for whatever situation, circumstance I would be confronted with this day. I don't care if it's, I need more peace, and I have abundant peace. I need more joy. Can nothing take my joy away from me? I need, Lord, even if I need more faith, because situations come in, it make you question your faith sometimes. All the faith I have from yesterday is gone. I need new faith, a faith for today. So whatever you do, whatever time you pray, and it works, because several times, days, within those 2 weeks, I could have lost it. I could have gotten angry. I could have said some things. I could have done some things. I could have did a lot of things. But see, I serve a God that's more than enough. I serve a God that kept me. When somebody cut you off on the highway, I said, oh, well, nobody got hit. Everything right. I got this. I got patience for another minute. You know, see, that's how we have to look at it. But you have to have faith. I went through all of that so you can have faith and know what El Shaddai really means. He just don't name his name and for no reason at all. See, he called Abram for 75 years old, and see, he messed up. See, we mess up sometimes. We make mistakes sometimes. But see, it doesn't mean that God forgot about what he promised us. We just had to get back in line so he can deliver his promise, and don't get out of line in the first place so we can get the promise sooner. That's the God that we serve. And I guarantee you, I can promise you, anytime at the end of your prayer, before you get up, before you leave the house, say, I'm so glad that I serve a God that's more than enough to handle any circumstance, any situation, anything I'm confronted with this day. And I guarantee you, when stuff starts happening, I got that. You know, I got enough love, and I got enough faith. I got enough patience. I got enough of everything. I got enough money for the day. If y'all don't believe you had enough money for the day, let me tell you something. How many of you lived through yesterday? How many of you had bills yesterday? How many of you had to pay for yesterday? But see, you had enough money yesterday, so you're here today. So did you just say, Lord, I thank you. Now I'm going to start y'all off early. Lord, I thank you that right now, this day, we have more than enough to handle any circumstance, anything that may come up, whether it be financially or anything. We have more than enough to take care of this day. Now, see, tomorrow, you on your own. You have to ask him yourself. But right now, I got more than enough. Say something to me, I ain't going to get mad with you. God bless him. Hallelujah. Yeah, because I didn't know that's the type of God that we serve. And I told you, I gave you the definition of a good sermon. The beginning is good. The ending is good. And the ending, beginning, between the beginning and ending was as close together as I could get it. Because I want you all to get this point. You know, El Shaddai. What is El Shaddai? God, see, when you know that, it's just like you're going shopping, ladies in particular. When you go... I ain't looking at Lenore. Y'all laughing. I didn't look at her when I said that. I'm looking at Julia. When you know that you have more than enough money to get what you want, don't you have joy? Don't you go out there and spend and have no worries? But in the same token, with God, we have more than enough of everything that we need. Father, right now,